Blog Talk Radio.
Shall continually be in my mouth. This is Blog Talk Radio, February 26, 2021, and we are Amazing Grace Ministries. We are destroying the yokes of bondage. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio with your co-host, Evangelist Terry Rogers. We honor Dr. Reverend Maria Carey on today, who is our president and CEO of the Amazing Grace Ministries. We have a spirit-filled lesson on today, so we're going to get right into it. Announcements, resources, Amazing Grace School of Ministry classes will start in the month of March. Below is a link to complete the registration for the class. The classes is https://www.otg1mzda/m/mjc/nze1mdk5mj/details. For more information, just in case you didn't get a chance to write that down, please contact Dr. Maria Carey at 309-750-7584. please consider donating to Amazing Grace Ministry, Inc. You can send that donation to P.O. Box 43-84-11, Chicago, Illinois 60643. And to those that have sent the donation, we thank you for undergirding this ministry. To everyone listening in Radio Land, I decree blessings unto you. If you are blessed by this talk show, I need you to express it via text, email, or comment on our lesson page. Text at 309-750-7584. Email amazinggraceministries@gmail.com. That's capital A, M-A-Z-E-N, ministries@gmail.com. Prepare to hear a word that will captivate your mind. It will change your life. It will move you forward in this new year, 2021. God is saying a new thing has sprung up from the desert. God will restore and deliver his people to bring reaffirmation of our heritage. The theme for February 2021 has been a time of rebuilding and reaffirmation of our heritage. The lesson for this last Saturday is peace that passes all understanding in a pandemic. Philippians 4, 5 through 7, and this is the New King James Version. Let your gentleness, graciousness, or forbearance be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And we have a Black History note. We're going to talk a little bit about the pilot, Bessie Coleman. She was the first licensed African-American female. Bessie Coleman, January 26, 1892, through April 30, 1926, was an early American civil aviator. She was the first African-American woman and first Native American to hold a pilot's license. Born in Atlanta, Texas in 1892, Bessie Coleman grew up in a world of harsh poverty, discrimination, and segregation. She moved to Chicago at 23 to seek her fortune, but found little opportunity there as well. Wild tales of flying exploits from returning from World War I, soldiers first inspired her to explore aviation, but she had a double stigma in that dream, being both African-American and a woman. Born to a family of sharecroppers in Texas, Coleman worked in the cotton fields at a young age while also studying in a small segregated school. She attended one term of college at Langston University. Coleman developed an early interest in flying. African Americans, Native Americans, and women had no flight training opportunities in the United States. So she saved and obtained sponsorship to go to France for flight school. She set her sights on France to reach her dream and begin studying French. In 1920, Coleman crossed the ocean with all her savings and the financial support of Robert Abbott, one of the first African-American millionaires. Over the next 7 months, she learned to fly, and in June of 1921, the Fédération Aéronautique Internationale awarded her an international pilot's license. Wildly celebrated upon her return to the United States, reporters turned out in droves to greet her. Coleman performed at numerous air shows over the next 5 years, performing heart-thrilling stunts, encouraging other African-Americans to pursue flying and refusing to perform where blacks were not admitted. Just as her career was really firing up and she was nearing her goal of raising enough cash to open her own permanent flight school, tragedy struck. On April 30th, 1926, Bessie Coleman was in Jacksonville, Florida, to prep for a show. According to biography.com, she had just bought a refurbished plane. which was delivered by her fellow pilot, William Wheels. But only after he encountered serious mechanical problems along the way, the new plane was in terrible condition, and other brainstormers, friends, and family all warned her not to fly, but always mindful of her bank account and the delight of her audience, Coleman insisted on making a test flight. Her first stunt the next day was to be a parachute jump. So Coleman went up with Wheels at the controls, scouting for the best jump and landing point. To better lean out of the open cockpit while scanning the sights, she left herself unbuckled, a critical mistake. As the National Women's History Museum relates, a loose wrench somehow got into the engine and caused the plane to start accelerating and bucking erratically. Coleman was ejected and plummeted 500 feet to her death. Wheels crashed and died beside her. Bessie was just 34 at the time. Bessie Coleman is a centerpiece of aviation museums and Hall of Fame today, having paved the way for women and people of color to soar in pursuit of their dreams. PBS notes that more than 10,000 people attended her funeral, where civil rights pioneer Ida B. Wells spoke. In 1929, as the National Aviation Hall of Fame relates, a flight school for black people was finally opened, the Bessie Coleman Aero Club in Los Angeles. According to the U.S. Continental Flight Commission, black aviators started annually flying over her Chicago gravesite in tribute in 1931. And buildings in Harlem were named in her honor that year. Her legacy lives on in France, too. Entree to Black Paris notes that she has streets named after her in two French cities, Pointeres and Paris. Mae Jemison, the first black woman in space, is quoted as saying, "It's tempting to draw parallels between us, but I point to Bessie Coleman and say here is a woman, a being who exemplifies and serves as a model for all humanity." The very definition of strength, dignity, courage, integrity, and beauty. Today, fewer than 3% of professional pilots are women, according to the Royal Aeronautical Society. There's a long way to go to achieve Coleman's dream of gender and racial diversity in the air. In 2021, the centennial of her historical achievement, getting that pilot's license, will be celebrated on June 15th, as the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association notes. Let's get into the lesson. The month of February has been a time of rebuilding an affirmation of our heritage. We started our rededicating ourselves to rebuilding after this coronavirus. The Lord let us know in Nehemiah 8 and 10 that the joy of the Lord is our strength. Nehemiah had a mind to rebuild the wall, and he did it with the help of the Lord. God is our strength and our source of hope. The second week in February, our lesson focused on victory. There is victory in the midst of this pandemic, so don't give up too soon. We stated that your faith will be tested, but we are more than conquerors through Christ, who strengthens us. We have been in a storm and enduring the storm during this pandemic. Loved ones have been taken away from us. We have grieved the loss of so many things, money, family, work, isolation, and for some, even a peace of mind. Then there was the third Saturday, and that lesson was anchored in hope / striving during a pandemic. We talked about the anchor. We talked about the fact that it had to be strong enough to be embedded in the seafloor, because when that wind blows, the anchor needs to be able to hold the ship so it would not drift into the sea. The numbers of people infected with coronavirus are coming down. People are gathering to be vaccinated. The states are opening where people can come out of their homes and mingle in society. Museums, restaurants, buildings, schools, and courts are all opening up because the numbers are getting better. Yet, there are still problems. There's not enough vaccinations to go around, and you still must wear a mask and practice social distancing. And still, everything is viral. Church, viral meetings. Yet in all these things we have been through, we still have peace. Not the peace that the world gives that creates anxiety and depression, but the peace that allows us to be in a calm, cool, and collected mode when trouble is around us. That peace that is supernatural, that peace that is given by God the Father to let us know that he will be with us even through the storm. He told the storm, "Peace, be still." And God gives us that peace that men don't understand because we are trusting in him. Today's lesson, we are dealing with the peace that passes all understanding. Why is that needed in today's time? Because even as things are getting better, we are still facing challenges. Every day you hear of somebody that has died. So we still need that peace that passes understanding. We need to know that God will see us through, even seeing us through so that we won't be anxious and frustrated like the world. God will guide us through. With the help of the Lord, the peace that God has made for us through his son, Jesus, so that this is confidence that we have Christ Jesus, that he will never leave us, nor will he forsake us. Our text is from Philippians 4, 5 through 7, and this is the New Living Translation. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. The Lord is near. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Now, this passage of scripture is well known. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus. That's Philippians 4, 6, and 7. What is peace that passes all understanding? In Philippians 4, 7, we have a wonderful promise. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. It is important to note the context of this promise, because that's where we find the condition. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Verse 6, God's peace is promised to guard those who pray with thanksgiving about everything. This peace will transcend our ability to understand it. That's certainly easy enough. Prayer plus thankfulness equal peace. When you go through these steps, then you get peace. However, my mind keeps drifting back to the anxious circumstances. And before I know it, I'm trying to solve the problem. After gaining confession, my distractibility, I get back to prayer only to have the cycle to continue. The believer who places his or her full confidence in the loving God and is thankful in every circumstance will possess a supernatural peace. An inner calm will dominate the heart. The faithful believer will know peace. His heart and mind are guarded by it, despite the tempest raging without. No one, especially those outside of Christ, will be able to fathom that peace. To the most, it will remain a mystery how someone can be serene during turmoil. This peace that comes from being in a high relationship with God is not the peace of the world. The world's peace depends on having favorable circumstances. If things are going well, then we feel peaceful. When things go awry, the peace quickly dissipates. Jesus made the distinction between his peace and the world's peace, vacillating peace. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. That's John 14, 27. Definition of peace. Peace has a few definitions: a state of tranquility or quiet, freedom from disquieting or oppression, thoughts or emotions, harmony in personal relations, a state or period of mutual concord between government, intergesturally to ask for silence or calm, or as a greeting or farewell at peace, in a state of concord or tranquility. So let's look at the passage of scripture that talks of the Prince of Peace, Isaiah 9 and 6. Isaiah 9 and 6, and this is the New Living Translation. For a child is born to us, a son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. When we understand that the Lord is near, and then this, he commands such as do not be anxious, typically come after the reason why we don't have to be anxious, because the Lord is near. In this case, the reason was slipped into the preceding verse. The Lord is at hand, Philippians 4 and 5. That changes everything. The emphasis is not on how we pray. It is on the God who has come close, who hears, and who is with us. The only thing that could separate us from his love and presence are our sins, and they have been washed away by Jesus' blood. When you are in a crisis, the presence of another person in our frightful situation can lessen our fears. Fear doesn't want a series of impersonal steps. It wants a person to walk in an unknown dark place by themselves, and then we are afraid. Hold someone's hand while you're in a dark place, and fear's not so frightening. If we are comforted by the presence of a mere human being who might be less strong and brave than ourselves, how much more will we be comforted by the sworn presence of the reigning Christ? This is the path towards peace and comfort. Meditate on Emmanuel, which means God with us. The Spirit of Jesus has been given to us. Therefore, we have reassurance that we don't have to walk in fear. Jesus died on the cross to make peace between us and God. He promised his disciples that he would give his peace, not the peace that the world gives, but peace from his Holy Spirit. John 14:27. Here Paul encouraged the Philippians to receive that peace through prayer. John 14:27, and this is the New King James Version. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world give, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. He is not limited by a physical body that confines him to one place and one person at a time. He is with all God's people all the time. God is omnipresent, meaning he is everywhere at the same time. Psalms 139:6-8, King James Version, says, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Whether shall I go from my spirit, or whether shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. Emmanuel will give us manna. We know that bad things happen to God's people. So what difference does God's presence mean when, although he is the Almighty God, he doesn't always use his power in the way that we would like him to? We feel like we are left where we started, trusting in some steps that we hope will make us feel more peace. And that's where our faith kicks in. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, Hebrews 11:1. Even though bad things happen to us, we remember that God is with us no matter what. But two things that we must understand. First, we should understand that when God says he is present or hears, sees, remember, he is saying that he is doing something. He is never a passive bystander. Second, what he is doing is this. He gives us what we need when we need it. Matthew 6:19-34, and this is the King James Version, tells us, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasures is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. There will your heart be also. The light of, if therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, the whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than the meat, and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the fields, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall not he much more clothe you? O ye of little faith, therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what thou shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. In the New Testament, he says that he will give us the grace we need, that the grace is part of tradition that begins with the appearance of manna for the needy Israelites. In time of trouble, God promises to give us manna that we need. He even spells out how this would happen in Exodus 16. There are times when we feel like destitute wanderers in the wilderness with little hope of food and water. God will then give us manna at the time we need it. He won't give us so much that we will have enough for tomorrow, because then we will just start trusting in the manna rather than trusting in Emmanuel. God makes a promise. He will give you manna or grace when you need it, but not before. That means you will be anxious if you forecast the future, because you are making your prediction based on the manna you have left over from today, and there is none. What you don't factor into your prediction is that you will receive fresh grace when you need it. Thank you, Lord. That should sound familiar. Think of the times you dreaded an upcoming event and it was not as bad as you anticipated. You were given manna when you needed it. Think of the times when you were surprised by something especially difficult. Through painful times, you received grace to endure with faith. We will have hardships in life. Of that, there is no doubt. Scripture does not offer a kingdom that spares us from pain. The word does not promise, but the word does promise, however, that God will be with us in every trial and will give us all the manna we need so that we can know him better, trust him, live for him, and be increasingly transformed to look more like Jesus, no matter what the wilderness of life might throw at us. In other words, he will give us the best of gifts when we need help. Manna was pointed forward to something much better. Deuteronomy 8, 2 and 3, it was pointing to the bread of life, who will satisfy our hunger in such a way that we wouldn't always feel hungry 2 hours later. Manna was sorry about that, I was disconnected. We will have hardships in life, of that there is no doubt. Scripture does not offer a kingdom that spares us from pain. The word does promise, however, that God will be with us in every trial and will give us all the manna we need so that we can know him better, trust him, live for him, and be increasingly transformed to look more like Jesus, no matter what the wilderness of life may throw at us. In other words, he will give us the best of gifts when we need help. Manna was pointing towards something much better. Deuteronomy 8, 2 and 3, it was pointing to the bread of life, who would satisfy our hunger in such a way that we will always feel hungry 2 hours later. Manna is pointing to Jesus and what we are given in his death and resurrection. The opposite of anxiety is hope. Anxiety predicts that manna will not come. Hope predicts that God will be with us and give us something better than manna. Where does peace fit in? Peace is the companion of hope. Philippians 4 and 7, NIV. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts with your mind in Christ Jesus. The peace of God transcends the understanding as well as belonging to another order of things that we don't understand. It's supernatural and supernatural. It comes from above. Humanity and peace don't come without a fight. God is pleased to work hope and peace in us surely but gradually. Then comes as we meditate, feed on the Spirit, feed on Christ, and keep calling out for manna and grace. The kingdom of God advances through weakness and dependence on the King, not through quick and bloodless victories. If you are feeling a bit weak, you are probably on the right path. Essential to the battle with fear and anxiety is the gift of humility. It perfectly fits, doesn't it? In our anxiety, we are usually concerned about things we love, we want to control. We want to take matters into our own hand to protect our future. But we are finding that it's impossible to manage all possible contingencies. We want to protect our kingdom. Find anxiety, and you often find that your agenda is more important to you than God. You might find that you adopt your own interpretation of God's world rather than submit to God's clear word about his power, love, and care. Here's how the Apostle Paul Peter makes the link between humanity and anxiety. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hands of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you, 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7. He is asking us to do just one thing, humble ourselves before the Lord. Humility is expressed by casting our anxieties on the mighty and trustworthy one. This means that mere information and knowledge will not bring peace. Even more, we must respond to what we hear with humility and trust. Proverbs 3 and 5 tells us to trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not into thy own understanding. Pursue peace for God's glory. There are steps towards peace, but they are a little different than the steps we take in following a recipe. These steps are all personal. Know the God who comes near. Expect the better manner and walk before him in humility. Don't give up on the pursuit of peace. Peace will make you feel better, which is a good thing, but there is something greater at stake. In a world where true peace seems impossible, we want to be ambassadors who say the real peace is available to us only in the Prince of Peace. This indeed will bring glory to God. God's supernatural peace surpasses natural understanding. A coronavirus patient who recovers from the virus may proclaim, I'm so thankful to God. That is praise. A cancer patient who is dying and in pain may calmly say, everything is all right. I claim Romans 8:28, and I have peace in my heart. That is the peace that passes all understanding. Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his person, his purpose. In conclusion, our battle is not flesh and blood, as we read in Ephesians 6. We understand where our fight is coming from. This is a spiritual battle. We are physical beings living in a spiritual body made in the image of God. We must fight with weapons that are not flesh and blood, but that are spiritual. So the peace that passes all understanding is that peace that the Holy Spirit gives to us when we are trying to maneuver during this pandemic. We seemingly there is no hope in sight, but God. God says in his word that he is in control, and every amid the storm you have victory. Because God is omnipresent, he is immutable, and he has sworn by himself and he cannot lie. So as we celebrate the saints that have gone on to be with God, we have peace in knowing that we will see them on the other side. Let us pray. Most gracious Father, we love you. We adore you. We magnify you. For you are God and God alone. Before we ask you for anything, God, we thank you for everything. Lord, we thank you for who you are. You are the Lord of lords. You are the King of kings. You are the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Oh, God, you are good to your people. You woke us up this morning with our minds looking towards you, God. There is none like you. Nobody can touch us the way that you do. God, you are our way maker. You are the promise keeper. You are the light in darkness. You are our God. Thank you for the last lesson for February, the peace that passes all understanding, the peace that only you can give. Now, God, forgive us of our shortcomings and our sins. Lord, help us to receive your peace in every situation that we face in this life. God, for your glory, look on your people everywhere. Lift up the hung down head and touch anybody that is not feeling well on this morning. Lord, for some, it was a struggle to get up this morning. Make it worth their while, God. Let them know that you care and that you are still in control. Now, God, look on our host today, God, Dr. Carey, and her family. Look on our leaders, God, on our pastors, our bishops, our superintendents, God, all our leaders, God. Look on the bereaved families, God. Then, God, be with us on today in everything that we say and do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for tuning in to Blog Talk Radio with your co-host, Missionary Carey Rogers. Tune in next week when your host, Dr. Reverend Maria Carey, who is the president and CEO of Amazing Grace Ministries, we'll return same time on next week. And remember, if this show blessed you, let Dr. Reverend Maria Carey know by text 309-750-7584 or drop her an email, amazinggraceministries@gmail.com. She would love to hear from you. Remember, wear your mask, wash your hands often, and don't forget to social distance yourselves. Until next time, enjoy the remainder of the day and be blessed. In Jesus' name.